superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Did the reigning most valuable player in the National Football League,
the Rich Eisen Show,
have to drop some kids off at the pool?
That play is called pitchy pitchy woo woo.
I was cramping. I ain't putting a Paul Pierce.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Brian Griese. Coming up, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, plus ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Great chat with Brian Griese in hour number one. Asked him point blank which team that he's seen would have the best chance to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs, who enter week 15 that starts tomorrow night with a battle between teams that are looking up at his team in the division between the Chargers and Raiders. Which team out there could actually stop this train that's now pulled into the one seed station with 3 weeks to go? And he said, quite frankly, he doesn't think there is one. And the team that he finally landed on is a team that to actually beat him. He said the Buffalo Bills. Every single time I keep thinking the same thing, and then I keep saying I'm wondering if their running game is good enough, consistent enough, stout enough to keep Mahomes on the bench long enough to limit his possessions. The number of times I then get back from me on my Twitter feed when we retweet these videos out, Chris Brockman, from Bills Mafia saying, you clearly don't watch Bills games. You clearly don't see all the Bills games. I see as much as I possibly can. I literally sit at home on Sundays and put the fam on hold and watch as many games as I can. And I see a lot of these Bills games because I also have Josh Allen in fantasy. And he's just been dynamite to watch. I also had Devin Singletary in fantasy, and I dropped him about a month ago. The Bills do not have the run game. I haven't seen it for all four quarters in the way that they did close out the game against the Steelers. Very impressive. Can they do that over and over again? And instead of dropping Allen back and him slinging it around 40 times. I don't think that's the way he's going to beat the Chiefs. I just don't. I don't think if you're going to shoot it out with the Chiefs that you're going to walk out of Dodge with fewer bullet holes than everyone else. I would love to see a shootout between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes.
Sign me up.
Right?
Without hesitation.
And I think it would be great. And they do get John Brown back. And this is a much better offensive team with John Brown in the lineup. But when it comes down to it, can they turn to Zach Moss and Devin Singletary and say, you've got to give us 15 carries each. Yeah. And you've got to give us 15 carries each to the clip of four a pop, five a pop. That's what you got
to
do.
Can they get 100 to 125 yards on the ground?
I mean,
I don't know, man.
Can you do that against Kansas City? So Mahomes is pacing the sidelines, and when he comes back in and they score in 3.5 minutes, you get back out there and make sure it's another 7-8 minutes till he gets a shot to do that again. That's my concern. And then the Bills defense had about a month stretch where they couldn't stop a cold, you know? I picked them back in the first month of the season. I tagged them as the team that had the best chance to beat the Chiefs and that backed off on them. it would give me no greater pleasure than to see this team with that remarkable fan base that calls me out for not knowing football.
Well, I mean, they're jumping through tables. Rich.
No, but that's their passion, and I understand it, and they love their team. Whose run game would you take in the AFC?
Well,
Hold on a second. Let's compare it.
Okay.
The Bills or the Chiefs? Which one would you take?
Chiefs.
Okay. Which one would you take in the AFC, the Bills or the Titans?
I mean, Titans.
Which one would you take, the Bills or the Browns?
Browns.
Which one would you take, the Bills or the Colts?
Colts.
Which one would you take, the Bills or the Raiders?
Raiders.
Which one would you take, the Bills or the Ravens?
Ravens.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, like, now they have to step up and run the football when it gets cold. In their house.
But they don't have a guy.
They do have a guy. I think Zach Moss could be the guy. I mean, you're seeing, again, because I do, Bills fans, watch a ton of your games. I see Singletary between the 20s, and then once they get in the green zone, red zone, whatever they call it, it's Zach Moss. That's what I see. And you got a kid in Singletary in year two and Moss in year one, and that's it, you know?
22nd in the league in rushing.
So
it's not getting it done.
They have to. Like, I would take the Bills over the Steelers, right? Wouldn't you do that? Would you take the Bills over the Dolphins run game? I think you'd do that.
It's kind of a wash. I mean, Steelers, I think right now.
Right now, you take the Bills over the Steelers.
Yeah.
I mean, you just watched it. Because they did get production from Moss and Singletary, and did wrap the game up. They ran the clock out.
The other problem is both Moss and Singletary have fumbleitis. They put the ball on the ground too much.
Well, I mean, we saw Moss fumble out of his own end zone against the 49ers to make that a game for literally, that was a game.
For us.
Well, that was that Niners game versus the Bills was a game when the Niners stopped the Bills on their half-yard line and then went down the field, and even though they were stopped on the Bills' half-yard line, that was then a game when Moss, coming out of the end zone, coughed it right up to San Francisco. And then after that, Josh Allen's like, I'll take it from here, everybody.
Yeah.
Like an MVP-type player should. You know, that's why, but I do look at the Bills, and that's why I look again at teams that can grind it out, can keep Mahomes nailed to the bench, can have a quarterback make plays off a play action, not turn it over, and then defensively make a stop. The Browns fit that description. The Titans, if they can make defensive plays like they did in the playoff run last year, fit that bill. Who else can fit that bill? The Steelers, when they've got a run game. And they do not have one right now. It does not exist. So it's just the next 100-yard game from a Bills running back will be the first this year. And they've got to find that, I think, to beat the Chiefs. And I don't even know if they do find it, that would beat the Chiefs. They just, it's insane.
Yeah,
it's insane.
The Steelers have 100 yards, not even 100-yard rusher, just 100 yards of rushing offense one time since week 7.
Who's this? The Steelers, you said?
Yeah, the Steelers.
Okay, I mean, again, they've lost their balance. Maybe that's why the receivers are dropping so much, because their equilibrium's literally off offensively.
68 rush yards in the last two games combined.
I mean, that's a problem. So the two teams that are closest to the Chiefs in the standings, one is non-existent in terms of balance, and the other one has the chance to find it, and I think they have to. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to Ben in Mississippi. How you doing, Ben?
Rich, my man, crew, I hope you all are doing well.
Ben, we are.
Ben. I have four things. So
oh
let's
gosh!
Get straight into it.
Okay, well let's hit them. Let's hit them fast. If you want to get, how about this? Let's reorder. Give me the top two that you have, and let's see what we can do. Let's start with that, Ben.
No, number one is a request, and number two, you have the hot take plank in the vicinity.
I do, sir. What's your request before I grab the plank?
That's the request.
Okay, I do. Here we go.
Number one, as a question.
Yes.
As the interim executive of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I do mean that tongue in cheek, you inducted someone into the Hall of Fame this week. Letting us know who that was.
That'd be Derrick Henry against the Jaguars. Only against the Jaguars. Every other team you just throw out. And only against the Jaguars he's in, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, with three games left to go, the magic number is 574.
Okay.
Derrick Henry will get the record because in two of his three games, he is going against the 29th rush defense in the Detroit Lions and the 31st rush defense in the Houston Texans. They can't stop a nosebleed with nose plugs, Rich. He's going to get the record. I do believe.
He's got 1,532 rushing yards right now, Derrick Henry.
574 is the number. That's the number. That's about 191 a game.
He might get
that in the first half against Detroit and Houston.
And then he's against Green Bay, which, as we know, has tightened the bolts on defense. But I think Raheem Mostert is still hitting his head on the goalpost against that defense last year. And then Tennessee finishes up. OMG, at Houston. This could happen.
Yeah. That's what I said the other day.
They have the worst rush defense in the league.
He's 468 from 2000, which it seems really plausible at this point.
Ben in Mississippi. Thanks for the call, Ben. I appreciate it. There you go.
I mean, I was going to call my shot with the all-time mark, but 2,000's in range. 150 a game for the next three games? He had that in the first half last week.
He's amazing.
He's amazing.
He's truly amazing. Oh, man, why the hell did I not choose him at the top of my fantasy draft second overall? That mistake is not happening again if I get it up there.
But you're going to choose.
Why do we keep them? Why
Henry
do we keep,
this time? Hold on a second.
Why has his entire career been? Yeah, but why has his entire? The guy comes out of Alabama.
What's
he wins
yeah,
a Heisman
now,
Trophy.
Though? It took him a little bit to get going. It took him a couple years.
What's the yeah, but now? We're not even. He's not even in the realm of conversation of MVP
because he's not a quarterback.
But we've seen other running backs do it before.
Not in a while.
Is it a Tennessee thing? Is that what it is?
Maybe.
I mean, we're seeing...
Maybe. It's more of a running back thing.
We're seeing out of him the type of play that is so rare to see out of any running back, let alone someone of his size.
If he gets to 2,000 yards, the MVP will be a lot closer than it should be.
Don Bowie just said, week 5 versus Houston, he had 212 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Ayo.
I mean, he's coming. Ben in Mississippi, I don't even know if I needed to clutch the hot take plank right there. That's not that much of a hot take.
The all-time record.
The all-time record is what? He said it's 500. He's only 574.
2105.
Yeah, 21.
He's five. I mean.
Because remember, Adrian Peterson was like 8 yards behind it the one year he got 2,000?
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines here on the Rich Eisen Show. Manny in El Paso. How you been, Manny?
Hello, Mr. Eisen and company. How are we doing, gentlemen?
What's up, Manny? For talking to you. What's up, Manny?
Well, I wish time would stand still when you guys are on, seriously. And much like Christopher Nolan, I'd like to go back in time to last Friday.
Okay, very good.
The sports heist.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'm Mr. Eisen, and speaking about the cunning Chicago cheese caper, the mean mozzarella misdemeanor, the prime pizza pie pilfer, the pepperonis eaten by a bunch of jabronis. Yes, sir. I'm talking about the Lou Malnati larceny.
Yes, sir.
I was sick as a dog. I wasn't sure if I was coughing because of the COVID or the shock that the best dad ever not getting any pizza. But it is the holidays. I want to end this on the. We're coming full circle. I know you're in Tom Cruise mode right now.
Okay.
I have a holiday question for everybody. What is everyone's favorite Christmas song or Christmas rock song? And, guys, I want to end this call with saying that I love you guys.
Thank you.
I was still during my quarantine, I listened to the show. It helped get my mind off of things. So thank you very much for what you do.
Love you, man.
And being
thank
on
you.
Peacock, and like I heard on the recent, the newest Grinch movie, a toast to love and kindness, two things we need the most. Gentlemen, like I said, I love you guys. Have a good week.
Thank you, man.
And let's enjoy some sports.
All right, Manny.
Be well, brother.
Manny's the dude.
Do you want to answer this question?
First up for me, rock Christmas song. It's got to be Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
What do you have?
Christmas Time in Hollis, Queens by Run DMC.
Okay. When I was growing up in Staten Island, New York, All right. Now they're out of Borough, just like Queens. I will date myself, 51-year-old man. I had a record player in my room. I remember it. I could see it right now. It was a record player that was in a case that, you know, you could close up and snap up. It was a red cover and a blue bottom. I think it was red, white, and blue. I remember it. It was a small, it was made of it was plastic and everything. It was a kid's record player. And I had a 45 that I put on my record player that I absolutely ran off the rails, and it was Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Darin. I ran it off. It might have been scratched 50 million different times. That's my Christmas song. Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Darin. And I will still, on occasion, if you want, you know, if we were, you know, not in a pandemic and going karaoke, I could bang that out.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's my wheelhouse, songs like that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Low octave talking
songs.
There I
was.
Songs.
That's right. What do you call it? Low octave talking songs?
Low octave talking songs. That's kind of my wheelhouse, too.
Okay. Yeah, I can't do, you know, I do a higher register. That's the only thing I do. But Bobby Darin, that's it. Jingle Bell Rock. I played the hell out of that. And then I would play records off speed. Like I'd play 45 records, 33 and a third records on 78. Drive my brother insane. Just didn't like, because I liked, you know, making people sound like the Chipmunks. Couldn't think. He went nuts. God bless my brother. He always liked things in order. I was the younger kid who didn't.
Right.
Just messed the stuff
Jay
up.
Went nuts. Just
Rich,
crazy.
Rich, really funny. Austin Eckler's back on the line to talk about.
Thank you very much. When I said DVDs yesterday, because I do get at NFL Network, there are probably some sitting in there right now at the end of the year all the time. From prospects who don't get invited to the combine. And they're like, I need to get there. And here he was from Western Colorado. I thought maybe he was one of those guys that sent his resume around. What do you do? I mean, what do you do now? I guess you just link it. Say, send an email. Here's my YouTube.
Yep. Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Well, some people still don't. So I mentioned DVDs and he started laughing at me.
Hey man, when
literally
I got,
laughed at
when
me.
I got out of college, I
not
sent
with,
a,
at
100 VHS tapes out because that's what you did back then, 2002.
Last mixtape you made? What was the last mixtape you made?
No idea.
Anybody? What was the last mixtape you made?
Well, you know, my car is an 03, so yeah. I still had a CD player. So yeah. It was about a year ago. I was making mixed.
You made a mixtape for what?
Just
for your car?
Yeah.
You have a cassette deck in your car?
I said it. Well, actually, yeah, I do. It's a 2003, so I have a cassette and a DVD player, a CD player.
Okay.
And, yeah, so.
So why didn't you have my back yesterday? You heard me. I'll be honest with you. I'm a control freak. All hosts are, okay? When this show goes on the air between noon and 3 Eastern, okay, 9 a.m. and 12 mm-hmm. here Pacific. I'll be honest with you. I'm a father of three, you know, in a household where there are two rescue dogs, and my wife admittedly loves them more. and I am, as you're finding out, Chris, now in a household with a baby and a dog, you keep getting demoted
I'm
in life.
I'm at the bottom.
That's the way it works.
Oh, yeah.
Here, I come in here every day, and I get to control things.
True that.
I don't control anything at home. As a matter of fact, the other day we were moving around a chair in Susie's office, and it's the one chair, the one item that still exists in our world that I brought to the marriage.
Just a chair? That's
17
it.
Years ago. That's it.
Because everything else is here.
That's it. Everything else is here. Number of times my wife says to me, "Hey, Rich, you know where that would look good? Not here. At work. Take it." Reason why I bring this up is I come in here to control things. And yesterday, I'm interviewing Austin Eckler, and admittedly, he staggered me. He staggered me with a punch. Like, he literally, when I asked him a legit question about, did you send DVDs? to people to try and get invited to the combine, and his response wasn't to talk about the road taken or not taken, which was the intent of getting that question answered. He laughs at me for even suggesting a DVD because he's, you know, Mr. Twitch. And you, TJ Jefferson, have a cassette / DVD player in your car, and you didn't jump to my defense.
Why should I take shrapnel?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I take enough crap for that as it is.
Now I know how Tom Cruise feels with his crew.
Learn nothing.
Rich Eisen Show Ghost Protocols. When the host is staggered by a guest and you have the ability to provide backup, show up on the scene.
That would have just made us both look bad.
Rich Eisen Show Ghost Protocols.
Wow.
Come on.
Ew.
If it's any consolation, neither the cassette player nor the CD player in my car work at the moment. So I'm stuck listening to the radio.
You know what? You're right. It does not provide any consolation at all.
Too late.
We'll take a break. There's New York Giants news. Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football joins us. We'll have more fun with Kyle when we come. What's the matter with you people?
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Oh, yeah, we're now adding the Sunday night football music, huh? Browns, Giants, Sunday, 7 Eastern time. Mike Tirico and the gang get you set from New Jersey as the New York Giants try to rebound from their awful loss against the Arizona Cardinals, and the Browns try to drop one on the Giants like Lamar That's Sunday.
Come on now.
On NBC. There you go. You know, I feel like I should do right now. I should do this. So just keep right there. I should do this because I got wheels.
I don't know what that means.
That's a Collinsworth move.
I don't know. Oh, the slide.
Yeah, man.
The slide. Gotcha.
just taking L's around here. It's not what I come to work for. I don't come to work to take L's.
Yeah.
I kind of miss when I sat over there and just slide in.
What's the matter with you people?
I have a rug over here, so I can't slide.
Very good. Yeah. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show with our radio simulcast. What is the Giants news, Chris? What do you have over there?
Oh, Daniel Jones has a new injury in addition to the hamstring. Looked like he got an ankle sprain, his status is in doubt.
I told you what I told you. This is Colt McCoy's team. He's going to win it.
Yeah, but I have a futures bet, so I would really like Daniel Jones to play and win.
What's your futures bet?
Giants win the division. I got plus 300.
Colt McCoy can take you home, bud.
I don't know about that,
McCoy took you home in Seattle.
I don't know about that.
Colt McCoy won in Seattle. And then Daniel Jones showed up like lawn furniture, and Hassan Reddick had a day. Don't you worry. Colt McCoy will play on Sunday night, and NBC will get what it wanted when it flexed into this game, which is a Colt McCoy revenge game.
Colt McCoy had 100 yards.
Yes.
I don't know if that's winning.
Colt McCoy revenge game. Four words that 2020 needed to hear. Next up, Brady Quinn revenge game. Let's go. Is there such a thing? Let's bring him in. Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is there such a thing as a Spurgeon win revenge game? What do you think?
Well, I think you have to start with the Charlie Fry revenge game.
Yes.
And there's so many to get to. There's a Tim Couch revenge game. There's a help me out here. Who are we have
Charlie Whitehurst?
Who is the
Charlie Whitehurst revenge game?
Yeah.
Jeff Garcia revenge game.
Yep.
Derek Anderson revenge game. Yep. It's a fantastic slate of revenge games starting, of course, on Sunday night on NW and
WBC. How you doing, Kyle? What's going on in your mind, your world? Everything
good? Happy holidays
Same
and
you.
Happy Chinooka, Rich. Chinooka. Since that time of year, it's great to talk to you.
It is great to talk to you. What was on? I missed this morning's broadcast. What was on your plate today, Kyle?
It's a funny thing you mentioned about the Giants, because this is how fickle everything is. I would say 1 week ago on our broadcast, I'm sure at least in part yours, Rich.
Yes.
Oh man, everything was coming up Giants and Big Blue, and this is great, and Joe Judge is cracking skulls, and they're going to win, and they're going to pull out this thing. And then about midway through that game, this thing, the Giants' so-called bandwagon, fell off the table. This was like a season two of True Detective. This was like when Hoobastank came out with that "The Reason Is You" song. Everybody just fleeing like rats. Like nobody is on the Giants now. It's all coming up Washington. But I think if Colt McCoy wins the Sunday, it's like, well, the math says we're back. It's a wild time to be a Giants fan.
Well, I mean, the Browns are also a perfect example of it. When they were down by two scores middle of the Monday night game, I'm thinking to myself, well, at least I parsed everything I said about the Browns over the last 5 days. Is like, well, this may not age well. But I think to take out of that Monday night game is that the Lamar of 2019 arrived in 2020 for the first time. We didn't even see it, and maybe even in week one when they boat raced Cleveland, that they arrived, and that Cleveland just if they come up with a stop here or a stop there, they can put up a whole bunch on you and run all over you.
Yeah.
You know?
We saw it the week before with Lamar, but it was Dallas. So it was like the DiCaprio and Django where he says, yeah, you had my curiosity, now you have my attention.
That's right,
like,
yes.
He got our attention this week. And listen, they're going to the playoffs. The Ravens are going to the playoffs. The slate is ridiculous that they have to play. Lamar is totally in and on, and it looks like number eight, the MVP. They're going, and I think Cleveland is going to go with them. Pittsburgh's going. That's going to be when the schedule comes out, we say, what division is going to send two teams, three teams? I think the North is sending three teams. Hmm. And I said that my takeaway from that game, Rich, when they finally scored and they made the go-ahead kick with Justin Tucker, I think there were 2 seconds left on the clock, and then there were safety shenanigans and whatnot. I think if there were 15 seconds, I think Baker could have gone down and scored again. Like, that's how hot he was. That's how reeling the Ravens' defense was. It was truly whoever has the ball last. And I came away that night being like, damn it, Baker Mayfield is good. And you know what? If I could soapbox it just a little bit, Baker Mayfield is a very easy target. He's a number one overall pick. He's brash. He's a wise ass. He's in a lot of commercials. It is very easy to knock him down. There are people we both know who have been making their careers the last couple years on knocking him down. You want followers? You want listeners? Just bash Baker Mayfield a while and people will like it. I'm sorry, but he can play. Yes, he threw an interception that night. It was his first one in about 6 weeks. Baker Mayfield is really good, and Baker Mayfield could be sitting here with a playoff win in about a month.
I agree with you. However, I am mandated to have to hold your feet to the fire by saying if the Ravens make it, who doesn't? Because they're right now in the category that, sadly, we're still the only organization that's calling the in-the-hunt category sniffing it. So right now they're sniffing it. Which team that's currently in as a wild card doesn't make it because the Ravens do? Dolphins or Colts? Which one do you choose there? Or even the Titans if they fall out of it?
The Dolphins had a bad night with the Ravens winning. A very bad night. It's tricky, Rich, because I really believe in Flores, and I'm having a very difficult time saying, you know what? I'm going to ride Phil Rivers. I think he can make it. It's just he's let me down many times before.
Right.
It's always volatile. He's the perfectly named person. He is like a turgid, roaring river, up and down, up and down. So I have to choose between one of them in this conversation, and I guess I'm going to choose – I think I'm going to have to choose the Colts and just roll the dice with Phillip Rivers because they run and they hit. And, look, they got a score to settle in their own division because Tennessee smacked them around for a while. But I still think if I have to choose one, it's going to be the Colts. Miami had a bad night with that Ravens win.
So the Colts make it. You think the Dolphins will be the ones that are on the outside looking in because, you know, you're assuming that they do find the Joe Judge – Giants in more of pumpkin mode than carriage mode in week 16 Baltimore, which is sandwiched in between Jacksonville this week and at Cincinnati to wrap it up. Miami has got New England, Vegas, and Buffalo, mm-hmm. and they're at Vegas and at Buffalo. So if, you know, the Ravens do win out, that would mean that Miami loses just one, and they'd be out. That's probably where you'd have to sit right now.
Entering it's so week fun, 15. Right? And you've got so many plates in the air, Rich, and yep. you're just nailing them, and it's so difficult. But I think the takeaway when you put it like that is that if you're one of these teams that needs Baltimore to lose, let's include the Raiders in that. They need Baltimore to lose
yeah.
badly.
Yeah.
Who you're rooting for the next 3 weeks? You're rooting for Gardner Minshew, maybe Ryan Finley if he plays. And then maybe Daniel Jones, but I hear as I'm waiting on hold to come in, he's got another injury. Like that is not the 27 Yankees of quarterbacks that you want to come in and win the game for you. It's tough.
Now, yeah, I mean, Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show. Jacksonville has a role to play here,
sure
and so many fronts because they're at Baltimore, home for Chicago,
mm-hmm.
at Indianapolis, and all three of those teams still have hopes. They're you know, Indianapolis is the only one currently in a playoff spot. Chicago now suddenly sniffing it in the NFC, and that's where I'd like to land here, mm-hmm. because Jacksonville also playing a role in who might get Trevor Lawrence as well, mm-hmm. and I kind of, you know, I knocked on the league's door and found out if the Jets and the Jaguars are both 1-15, and that would not go the Jets' way. It would go Jacksonville's way based on strength of schedule, the way it currently looks, and the way that it most likely would wind up. So that's pretty big.
Hold on, Rich, because yes. I had heard that, and I know it's complicated.
Yes.
And you checked in with the league. If they both end 1-15,
yes.
Jacksonville gets the number one pick?
It goes to strength of schedule, and whichever right. team has the easiest strength of schedule would
okay.
be the ones that gets the first overall pick, because here it would mean that you sucked the worst against the least of competition. It actually
okay.
counts against you to suck terribly against better competition. It's kind of like, you know, your golf game. You're not supposed to hit
yeah.
a ball hard and for it to go very far. It's counterintuitive here.
Swing easy.
Yeah, right. And so right now, believe it or not, what would count against the Jets – remarkably, when it all comes down to it, is they choose the 1 year to go so bad
yeah.
in the year in which the AFC East suddenly gets much better than it ever was. And that the Jacksonville Jaguars have 4-9 Houston sitting in there, and that leads to their benefit. That's the way it currently looks right now.
See, this, I find this immediately compelling. I'm all of a sudden into it. Never mind the Packers and Saints and the Chiefs. I like this. Riddle me this.
Yes.
What happens week 17 if the New York Jets are 0-15?
Yes.
And Bill Belichick surmises that losing to the Jets that day could actually help the Jaguars get Trevor Lawrence, thus keeping him out of the AFC East. Is that not the chess move that Belichick makes with a team that's most likely mathematically eliminated?
Kyle, look, there's many reasons why I think we're simpatico, okay? There's many reasons why I adore having you on this show every single Wednesday. There's many different ways that you being a Princeton man and me going to the Ivy of the Midwest known as Michigan, yeah. that we're lockstep. We actually have been talking about this very moment for days. As a matter of fact, we had Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston, when we gave that concept to him, ask him what Belichick would do. What did he call that, Chris? He said he was writing it down because
it's a talker.
That's what he said. It's a talker.
It's a talker.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because it would run completely, let's talk about counterintuitive, completely against Bill Belichick to lay back in any way, shape, or form, let alone against the Jets. Part of me thinks that he would love to stick the Jets with the ignominy of an 0-16, that they would join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the 70s and the Lions and the mm-hmm. the Browns of the aughts and teens, that he would love to stick them with that. But if it means no Trevor Lawrence in his division, that's a talker, which we're talking about right now.
It's great. It's not occurred to me. You guys are ahead of me on this, and that's the perfect person to ask in Curran. I just feel like you don't need the brilliant Ernie Adams somewhere in the catacombs of Foxborough, New England, coming up with new ideas and roles for Belichick, as he has been for years on bread and water in the laboratory down there. This one's an obvious one. My question is, if Belichick were to elect this strategy to say, look, I could pin him 0-16. Sure, that'd be fine. Bunch of people have gone 0-16 before. You just named him, Rich. And nobody ever lost out on Trevor Lawrence. This is the art of war stuff. I'd rather have them win and in winning lose. I wonder how far he would go with that. Are we going to see Stidham week 17? Are we going to see Boyer, a practice squad player? How much could he get away with? This is the game of the season as far as I'm concerned.
Wildcat.
Yeah, could go Wildcat.
Sure, why not?
Like power eye, wing T. Like, let's go.
Yeah. You know,
but then did the Jets return fire? And do they start?
They're not smart enough.
People on every plane.
They're not smart enough to return fire.
We'll
Kyle.
Know something's up when we'll know something's up when Belichick says we need to see what we have in Brian Hoyer. You know, that's when we'll smell a rat.
I love it.
Kyle Brandt here on the Rich Eisen Show, and you know we just talked about next level chicanery potentially to try and keep a team from successfully tanking. Let's talk about you as a Bears hunk, sir.
Okay.
This past week, seeing Trubisky look the way that he looked, and against Deshaun Watson, of all people, okay? Obviously, it's a Texans defense, but with Deshaun Watson in the building and the Bears defense taking care of him, do you think this is the future, or would you say it's a mirage and you would prefer the Bears to just keep on losing so a house gets cleaned? What do you think, Kyle?
I remember vividly our conversation in September when you were on one, as the kids say, Rich, about the short leash that was on Mitch Trubisky by Matt Nagy.
Yes.
And we joked that it was like one of those handheld retractable leeches with, the blue bag of crap on the bottom of it. It was like a real taut leash that he had on him. And it's so unbelievably complicated because that was the right move to pull him that day. It was the right, because Nick Foles coming to beat the Falcons and everything looked great. Then Nick Foles was terrible for what felt like interminably about 2 years. And now Mitch, who is a master of avoiding the breakup. It is the person, the boyfriend you're just about to break up with, and all of a sudden you got a candlelight dinner and you've hired Yanni to play next to the table. Like, he knows how to be unfireable. And so to your question, my roundabout way of answering it is,
yes.
I love Mitch. I've seen enough of Mitch. I am not going to take a couple nice throws to Allen Robinson against the Houston Texans and say, one more year or five more years. No, I think we've made our bed with Mitch, and I think we've already slept in it. It's been terrible, restless sleep. I think it is time to move on. I'm not ready for Mitch in 2021.
So Bears Vikings, I mean, it's on, right? I mean, they're both sniffing it at 6-7. This is a big football game. And then of course, the end of the season against Green Bay, there's that game against Jacksonville. As we mentioned, Jacksonville's going to play a large role here. They're going to look good against Jacksonville. And then here we go. I mean, so you're not thinking that the Bears could actually sneak in at 7, make some hay, maybe, do something against the Rams potentially, similar to what we saw, in the regular season a couple years ago when the double doink hit and all of that business. I mean, you don't want to see that? You don't want to be all in on that?
How dare you utter the words double doink, Rich? We just had to go through the Cody Parkey experience.
We saw it
on national television.
I know.
In Cleveland, from which he missed two more kicks.
I know, he's kicking like he wanted to get
the Today Show.
He wanted to get back on the Today Show. He missed it.
Yeah, that's what you do after you miss a kick. That's the time and place. He double doinked both of those two. Listen, the Chicago Bears lost 6 games in a row. Baby steps. I know this is the season of miracles right now, but and Rich, and I love that your voice starts to rise when you say, win another one and another one, then get in. I need a little more. I'm not going to sit here and do backflips because they beat the Texans. The Texans are terrible. No, I'm not going to do it, and I don't think they will do it. I'm not going to BS you because I'm born in the Chicago suburbs. No, I never do that. I'm very, very jaded when it comes to 2020 Bears. Sure, I'd love to see it. Don't expect to.
Kyle Brandt, before we let Kyle Brandt go, the poll question, Christopher, ask him. This is a good one today. Chris, ask him the poll question.
It's important. It's the most important question you'll answer today, Kyle.
Okay.
It's the 26th anniversary of Dumb and Dumber's release.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
What's the best Farrelly Brothers movie? Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, Something About Mary.
Oh my God, what a good question. Summer of 1998, I am 19 years old and a college freshman. I went to see a movie called There's Something About Mary.
Go, baby.
And it is when they reveal the pieces of flesh that were in the zipper, they do a whole scene and then show it. It is by far the hardest I've ever laughed inside a cinema. I left my chair. I was on my knees on that disgusting, sticky floor with all the concessions. And I got to tell you, the second hardest I've ever laughed in a theater, Cameron Diaz, is that hair gel? That's the second. So the Farrelly brothers in one movie have the two biggest guffaws I have ever had in a theater. And I love those other movies. Don't sleep on Kingpin. Woody Harrelson saying, I took the cat Liberty milking your cow for you. She sure is a stubborn one. We don't have a cow. You know the punchline. Unbelievable movie. But my answer, with respect to Lloyd Christmas and Harry Dunn,
yes,
is there's something about Mary. Changed the whole game.
You know what? And then we didn't even talk about Chris Elliott in that, in his role in that film. Obviously, Ben Stiller and then Brett Favre. Apparently, you know, the Farrelly brothers will say they try to get Steve Young, right? They try to get Steve Young to do it.
Drew Bledsoe, too.
Drew Bledsoe. Yeah. I think there was a big, huge fight that involved Bledsoe or something like
that. They were at a concert, supposedly, and Drew got injured or something when he wasn't supposed to be there.
I know. You know, Favre kind of had the Brady role, right? Because Bledsoe couldn't answer the bell. I mean, they're telling that whole story. And I'll just remember Cameron Diaz, when she showed up on the screen for the first time, that was the end of that pretty much. And I remember too, also I was on SportsCenter year two for me back in 1998. And when she said, you know, on the date that can't we just go watch SportsCenter, the whole newsroom came back in the next day and we're like, did you hear what Cameron Diaz said in Something About Mary? All that said though, Kyle, I voted for Kingpin.
Kingpin's great.
Oh, my God.
That movie, favorite moment, Rich?
From Kingpin?
Yeah.
When Bigger and McCracken and his comb over got that much worse, and they just cut to the cutaway of Bill Murray's his comb over. Just so that's the end of honestly, just that one shot of Bigger
is above the law.
One of the greatest characters in movie history.
He wins $1 million, and he says, I now have enough money to buy my way out of anything. And talk about
one more title sweetness.
The piece of sports memorabilia from a movie you'd want, the bowling ball with the rose in the middle.
Oh my gosh.
That gorgeous rose.
And then
I wouldn't sneeze at Roy Munson's plastic hand either. I mean, that thing's with the Iowa State championship ring on it, no less.
Oh my gosh. Kyle, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Your podcast available on Spotify and Ringer. The first several episodes sitting right there. When do you come back with a new episode on next year on Wednesday?
We're strategizing about that, Rich. I think right in the heart of the National Football League playoffs in mid January, we're lining up contestants, and season two is going to be very, very fun. It's a game show. It's a talk show. It's everything Rich likes. I like.
I love it. I love it. Kyle, appreciate the time. We'll chat next Wednesday as well. And we'll see you on Good Morning Football and the rest of the gang tomorrow and every single weekday at 7 Eastern time on NFL Network. Thanks for the time, Kyle. Just great.
We'll get Munson out in the middle of nowhere, Rich.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
There you go. It's Kyle Bryant. I voted for Kingpin, and I'm assuming.
So did I, actually.
I'm assuming it's in last place in this poll. I'm assuming that, again, anytime I vote in a poll like this, the rest of the listenership and viewership lets me down a little bit, kind of like you guys.
Wow.
How dare you, sir.
So where do things stand right now?
So Kingpin's at 18%, trending third right now. Something About Mary's 25%.
Dumb and Dumber, huh?
Dumb and Dumber, man. 56%, running away with it.
Running away with it. That's... I mean,
it's pretty good.
Matt Dillon and Something About Mary too. I mean,
how many times do you do the Swami Samsonite? I was way off. Like, come on.
I mean,
I don't do that too much. I always do. So you're saying
there's a chance.
Yeah, so you're saying there's a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance.
You guys remember I told you a few weeks ago I was in Kingpin, right?
Okay, let's take a break.
Hold on a second.
We'll take a break. The Forrest Gump of the Rich Eisen Show just dropped something. We'll be back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a second. Oh, my gosh. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Hey, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show store is open. Go to richeisenstore.com. Be the first on your block with one of these babies. T-shirts, both long and, of course, short sleeve and white or heather gray. We've got hats, people. And, of course, start your day with a cup of Joe and a Rich Eisen Show coffee mug. Go to richeisenstore.com and shop your head off right now. richeisenstore.com. Go check it out right now. A mug exactly like this one that I'm holding in my hand is available there. There you go.
What if they want that exact mug, Rich?
I can, you know.
Would you part with it, or are you that, like?
No, I mean, I kind of like this mug, but sure, I'll do it. Why not? You got your peacock mug that you're sipping your tea from, and you just sit back there and
I'm a tea sipper. I've
don't
been
come
you.
To my rescue when Austin Eckler makes fun of me. My word. What a great crew. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. All right, TJ, you were in Kingpin?
I was.
What?
So this is like 95.
Okay.
I think in Pittsburgh, I was an extra in the scene.
How'd you get involved?
There was a extras casting in Pittsburgh. You know, at that point, Pittsburgh, you know, they film quite a few movies there. And
right.
I got a call to be in this movie, Kingpin. Now, I'd known about Kingpin. I was working in the YMCA downtown at the time, and Woody Harrelson would come in the mornings and play basketball.
As he was shooting Kingpin while he's being Munson.
Yeah, so I would see him every now and then. So.
How was his game compared to the game that we saw in White Man?
Woody Harrelson, I mean, mind you, this is 20-plus years ago, but Woody Harrelson could ball. Like, he could ball.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was at a strip club called Club Erotica. Shout out to McKee's Rocks. it was a strip club called Club Erotica, and it was the scene where Randy Quaid's Ishmael had become a stripper.
Uh-huh.
So we were doing a conga line through the club.
We see you in the middle of the movie?
That scene got cut out. The scene got cut out, but I was one person behind Vanessa Angel, hello, who was, you know.
Yes.
I was one person congoing her behind her as we went through the club. And Richard Tyson, who, if you've ever seen 3 o'clock High, he played Buddy Ravel.
Uh-huh.
He was a guy, I met him out. I'll never forget that. It was like one of the first, like, movie stars.
So you were in it, but the scene got cut.
The scene got cut.
So we cannot see you.
Maybe somewhere the Farrellys will put out a version of that that does include me. But
well, you know, the Farrellys are from Rhode Island.
Right.
And in the opening scene of Kingpin, where it's that 70s bowling party, right, where they're all dancing around and doing it. It's like the disco meets bowling, which led to that awful moment for
Mr. Munson
that led to Big Earn McCracken and everything that happened after that. In that scene, you could see them dancing and high-fiving each other, our famed professional golfers, Brad Faxon and Billy Andrade, because they know them from Rhode Island. So they made it. T.J. Jefferson hits the floor. Mm. But you weren't the T.J. Jefferson that you are today.
I'm still that same guy, Rich.
No, I know that, you have much better standing now as the Rich Eisen Show social media grandmaster.
Yeah.
This is your residual check, uncashed?
Never cashed it.
$31.38.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Never cashed.
Eight hours worth. That's it.
I think it was longer than that too. Yeah, but you know, that's just one of those "I'm just happy to be here" moments. You weren't really doing
so. An eight-hour day netted you $31.38 after Uncle Sam and everyone else took their cut.
Your uncle does not play when it comes to his money,
dude. But what is
it? Probably $50, right? You probably got $50 a day for that.
It's probably $56.
Taxes come out. Boom, FICA.
I went on a little bit of a roll at that time too. There was also a movie called
Looks like the 8-hour day gave him $34, Chris. That's it?
Yeah, that's after tax.
Damn. And then after taxes.
Oh, I didn't see that, sorry.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was
31.38. And so where does that check reside today? On your wall or something like that?
Nah, it's just sitting in a drawer at home.
Did you attempt to? You should try and cash it. I know. I understand when a check is voided, but you should just try and do it.
What was that, 25 years ago?
If you try to send in a check that's over, well over several years, just see what happens.
I've done that before.
That's like ripping a tag off a pillow or a mattress.
What are they going to do? Really come and get you? You know, $25, $50 checks.
Right.
So one day I was cleaning out my room and there was one 3 years old and I cashed it. Still worked.
Huh. Jerry's Nana? Is that what happened with Jerry's Nana? One of those episodes? Fantastic. Let's go to Nathan in L.A. Let's take his phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
What's going on?
So I'm going to give you a new title, Rich.
It is?
You are now Senior Advisor to Trevor Lawrence.
Thank you, sir. I'll accept it. Fantastic. He was on Dan's show today. He said he doesn't watch Jets games, by the way.
Yes, I understand that. Yeah. And, you know, he spoke about the fact that he's getting used to the idea of fame, but he's not quite there. He peaked when he won the title the first time.
Yes.
So you're from New York.
Yep.
You understand the media.
Yes.
Advise Mr. Lawrence on how to deal with the New York media when he gets there.
First of all, move to New Jersey. Go to New Jersey. Go and get a beautiful spot where, you know, and that's number one. Number two, the first person, I'm serious. If I'm the Jets, the first person I hook him up with on the spot is Eli Manning. On the spot. Now, I don't know how much the Manning family who, you know, I'm trying to connect dots here. Peyton Manning really likes Adam Gase, okay? So, and I'm almost sure Peyton gave the thumbs up when the Jets reached out to Peyton to say, hey, you know, what do you think about Gase? So I don't know how receptive the Manning family will be to the Jets calling up, but I would hook up Trevor Lawrence to Eli Manning on the spot and say, Eli, tell him how to handle it. Because Eli Manning handled it to perfection.
Yes.
Perfection.
Better than maybe anybody ever.
That's what I would do. And Eli is a first overall selection in a draft who came to New York with, we hope, far more drama than Trevor Lawrence will arrive and handled it to perfection. That's what I would do. And let Eli take it over from there and give him a nice 15, 20 minutes to tell him what's what. And then I would tell him to turn off the television sets and do your one hit with whatever radio station will have you per week.
Probably Francesa or Mike, or maybe Mad Dog.
I don't know. I have no idea. You know,
maybe he's not.
Or Kay, who you know we're partial to as well. I don't know. So put it together, and that is my advice, is move to New Jersey and call Eli. That's it. Don't set foot in the city and go live your life.
Did you know Fifth Avenue is going to come calling? I mean, you understand.
Oh, of course, and let him do that. I mean, the first thing I would do if I had a ton of money in marketing and wanted him involved, I call up my friend down in the state of Florida by way of Alabama, the GOAT himself, and I take Broadway Joe, put him in a mink coat, and take Trevor Lawrence, put him in a mink coat, Broadway Joe, Broadway Trevor, rip the knob off, and that's a marketing campaign.
I think that might look bad today, but that's okay.
Whatever would be socially acceptable to place on them that looks like mink. Okay, so, and that's it. That's my two, and on top of that, and thank you for the call, I'm going to give him a gravy boat. He's a gravy boat and candlesticks for his he and his beautiful, lovely new wife, who I've never seen, but I'm sure she's beautiful and is more beautiful on the inside as well. And they're going to show up in New York and they will be feted, because the Jets aren't winning a game over the next 3 weeks. Don't you even twitch in that direction. So close to pulling off this caper. So close to getting the Lufthansa money. Oh, boy. My advice to Trevor Lawrence. We're here. You know where to find me. You're welcome. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Brian Windhorst will join us. What is going on with James Harden? To use another phrase that Dan Patrick uses, he's big in the community.
Hey-o.
James Harden. We'll chat about the beard with Brian Windhorst when we come back. Still here on the Rich Eisen Show. What would be on your register? And I know you're not getting hitched. What do you need? What would you want?
What would you want?
I don't know.
What if you? What do you and Sarah need as a couple right now in your house? What could you use? And this is not. This is not. This is couples related. I understand. It's not kid related. You know. What do you need?
I don't know. My mom is always bugging me for Christmas gifts and birthday ideas. I don't have any.
No, but do you have like some fine cutlery when somebody comes over post pandemic?
Like that stuff.
Yes.
You need an air fryer.
We could probably need some new silverware. Probably.
Okay.
Like a nice set of steak knives.
This is not me trying to dig around for what Susie and I can get you and Sarah. This is ideas for Trevor.
Oh, got it. Yeah. No. We have good plates. We don't really have
okay, you got good plates.
Good stemware.
Okay.
Probably need some like a good set of knives.
Okay. Got to figure a kid coming off a college campus feels the same need.
Yeah.
Right?
Gravy boat, great idea. Though.
Gravy boat.
Great idea.
Gravy boat.
Candlesticks always make a nice gift.
Good. Very good.
Keep losing, Jets. Make Rich happy.
Oh. You don't want to see me if they win a game. I'm sure you'll tune into the show the day after that. Oh, look at Brian. Look at Brian.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.